desire and interest in your prayers this morning, and your attention. Thankful that the Lord still answers prayer. Thankful that He answers prayer, that the enemy has lost the battle. He lost. That's that story. He lost. Oh, we have a part to play in our own lives that we don't lose the battle. We don't have to, because the Lord won the overall battle, and He invites us to be part of His kingdom. I don't want to miss being part of His kingdom, do you? What a wondrous gift this morning it is that the God of all creation was willing to come down and make the ultimate sacrifice. When we were yet sinners, the Scripture says that Christ died for us, that we might be reconciled to Him. Why would Jesus do that? Why would the Lord make such a sacrifice for those that He created, and yet He gave His life and submitted Himself, became as the created, and then submitted Himself to the created to death? Not only any death, but the death of the cross. Why would He do that? Scripture tells us that God is love. It's because He loves us and He cares for us, and He wants us to be ready to meet Him in peace. The Lord wants us to be ready to meet Him in peace. Last Sunday we talked about how our great God is not limited by the time and space realm in which we live. You believe that this morning? God's not limited by time and space. But rather, He is able to work within the time and space that we live, and He works outside of the time and space realm in which we live, and He invites us to trust in Him with those things that we don't understand and with the things that are impossible to us. He says, trust Me. Why? Because He's God. But my burden this morning, however, is that while He is a merciful God, and while He indeed works outside and is able to work outside of the time and space realm in which we live, I want to be responsible to the utmost with my life, with the time and the space that He has given to me, and that I redeem the time, and that I am faithful, and that above everything else, that when He calls my name, that I'll be ready to go. In a day and a time where so much competes for my affection and my attention. It's everywhere. We're inundated by it. The message this morning is simple, and it's pointed, and it's most important. And it is that we be ready. I'd like to turn this morning to a parable, a sobering parable. It is to me in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And the first verse says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom." This is Jesus talking. And He said that the kingdom of heaven, the way that all of this is going to turn out and transpire, he said it's kind of like that there's 10 virgins that took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. He was directing his attention towards people that were good people. People that you'd like to have as your neighbor. People with good morals. People that were perhaps largely unspotted by the sin of the world. That's why they were referred to as virgins. They were largely clean and good people. But he said that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. And he said they that were foolish, they took their lamps, they took their lives, they took their testimony, perhaps they took their religion. They went into life with it. Said they took no oil with them. Perhaps they presumed upon the grace of God a little bit. Maybe they became too comfortable with a religious rut, a good lifestyle. They perhaps didn't have the sense of urgency that they should have had to be ready to meet Jesus. And it said that, but the wise, they took oil. They had the Spirit of God in their lives. They had life. They had fire burning in their hearts relative to the Lord and His calling and it, and the truth. And that became what their lives were all about and their testimony, and their very lives. They were fueled, if you will, by a desire to please the Almighty God. And they took oil with their lamps. And it said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and they slept. They lived life. They were unaware of when the Lord was going to return, as we all are unaware of when the Lord is going to return. And at midnight, at a time unexpected, at a time when you didn't say, I think the Lord's going to come back maybe right now. No, it was at a time where people were slumbering and sleeping. A time when we just living life. We're eating breakfast. We're driving to work. We're going about our daily duties. We're tending to the responsibilities that we have outside of our home and in our home. And we're living life. And in the midst of it all, at midnight, it said, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. A cry that couldn't be ignored. A cry that was not to be put to the side. A time that was a call to every single soul that couldn't be delayed. It's going to get the attention of all of us. Go out to meet him. When? Right now. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Put yourself there this morning, because we're going to be there. This is real. Put yourself in the place of these good people. Got good people here this morning. Put yourself in their place now. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps, they're gone out. Do you have some oil? Quick, do you have some oil? Our lamps, they're not burning. And there's this cry made, and it is time to go meet the Lord, and I don't have what I know I need to have. Can you help me? Everything that before seemed so important was no longer important. Didn't matter anymore. The things that they thought were so important to give their lives to didn't matter. The things that sometimes we feel like we can't let go of. I just can't let go of it. I just can't. Matters not at all. Except that you held on to it. The feelings that you had towards people that you shouldn't have. The behaviors that were in your life that so long perhaps you justified as, well, it's just the way I am. That's just who I am. God made me that way. It's just who I am. Sense of justice that we have sometimes on how things should be. And boy, do we hold on and try to push our agenda. Our opinions, our thoughts, the material things of life, the things that we just want so bad to have, the experiences that we give ourselves to experiencing, none of it matters anymore. At all. The only thing that matters is, do you have oil? Do you have life? Are you ready to meet the Lord when He comes back at a time unexpected, at midnight? But the wise answered and they said, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those that buy and sell and get some for yourself. I can't give you of my experience. You got to have an experience for yourself. We're going to have to meet the Lord not with the experience of our neighbor or those that we have confidence in. Or the Lord is not coming back for congregations, folks. He's coming back for people, for individuals. He's coming back and He's going to call people by name. And it's going to only matter what my relationship is. My relationship is with Jesus. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, not those that then got ready, then those that were ready when the unexpected cry came that the bridegroom was here, go out to meet him, then those that were already ready went in with him to the marriage. And I guess for me, some of the most sobering words written in the Bible come next. The door was shut. I remember as a little boy hearing the Bible story of this parable. And hearing those words, the door was shut. And all I could imagine was a big, huge, wooden door. Thick. No doorknob on the outside. No way to open it. Shut. Never to be opened again. Not just a story, folks. This is what's going to happen. Afterward also, the other virgins sang frantically, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. Lord, please, please, Lord, open the door frantically. Lord, please open the door.
But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I don't know you. And after he gave this parable, he then turned his attention to those that were hearing and indeed to us this morning. And he had a message to follow up the parable. And Jesus said, Watch, therefore, because of this truth and reality, watch. For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know. It's not for you to know. It's only for God to know. And Jesus said in the 24th chapter and the 44th verse, just right before this, He said, Therefore be ye also ready. Be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. When you don't think He's going to come. When you think you have time. Oh, we've heard this message over and over, year after year. While the disciples thought that the Lord was going to come back when they were there. It's been 2,000 years. Heard it since I've grown up. Be ready, the Lord's going to come back. But He hasn't. Surely there'll be tomorrow. I mean, pretty sure I'll see tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. I'm not going to come back tomorrow. He hasn't come back for years. I've got time. I'll take the risk. Really? You want to take the risk? For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You ever seen one of those signs at a service counter? You walk in and you go to a place of business that says open for business. It's open. The door's unlocked. You walk in. There's the counter and the person that is supposed to serve is absent. You ever seen those little signs that says, Be right back. You ever seen them? Be right back. And so you wait. But nobody comes right back. Maybe there's a bell and you hit the bell. Nobody comes. Have you ever called for help? A place that is there to serve? And they answer the phone and they say, Hello, this is so-and-so. Can I please put you on a brief hold? And before you even have a chance to tell them whether or not they can put you on a brief hold, you've been put on a brief hold. Sometimes it isn't brief. And then you hear pre-recorded music and things intended to string you along and keep you on the line, I guess. Do we ever place the Lord on hold? I can think of ways we can place the Lord on hold here in our church service. Come to church service. And I say this in love, but folks, sometimes we can put the Lord on hold with things outside of what the Lord is trying to get. Maybe the very thing we need. And we allow the world to cause us to put the Lord on hold. Hold on, Lord. I'll be right back. I've got something I need to attend to. What if the Lord comes back right then? But greater than that, we live our lives. Do we ever... I don't think anybody here, maybe with words, says, well, I'm going to put the Lord on hold. I'd be afraid to say that. And I suspect most good people would be afraid to say, I think I'll just put the Lord on hold. But do we do that with our lives sometimes? Where we allow other things to capture our attention and our affection, and we put the Lord on hold. The Lord does not want to come back to our lives. I'm going to coming back for Rod Smith. All right, here's where he lives. Bear with me in the illustration. Open the door, come in, and be right back. Just a second. The Lord wants us to be present. He wants us to be about our Father's business. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be ready to go, redeeming the time. You know, the Lord doesn't threaten. The Lord doesn't threaten. He didn't have to. He just speaks truth. Just truth. Jesus just says this is how it's going to happen. And this message this morning, I deliver from my heart and tell you that I have no intent, personally, to try to stir up some kind of an emotional response or an emotional fear, although it should get our attention. And I'll just tell you from my personal standpoint, it sobers me. I'm preaching the message and it sobers me. And it makes me take a great pause, reflect on my own life. But beyond feelings and beyond emotion, it's reality, it's truth, because the solemn truth about all of this is that when the Lord comes back and He returns, time is simply up. And those that are ready to meet Him in peace receive eternal life, and those that don't, won't. That's all. This parable doesn't speak of last second wrangling or opportunities to make change after the Lord comes back. It just, that time is past. This speaks of when the Lord comes back and those that are ready go in to meet Him, and it's final. It's eternally final. So this morning, again, the message is be ready. What does it take to be ready? What does the Bible teach us that is required and necessary to be ready? In basic practical terms, I'd like to present four items for your consideration this morning. If you want to be ready to meet God in peace, if you want to be one of the five, the Scripture tells us that number one, you need to believe into Jesus. You need to believe into Jesus. Believe into Jesus. Not just believe that He's God's Son, but believe into Him. Believe that what He brought is so right that it warrants you giving your life to live according to the words that He brought. And number two, the Scripture tells us that if you want to be ready, you're going to have to repent of your sins. Repent. From your heart, humbly, Lord God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I need the blood of Jesus to cover me. I want to be saved. And for us to be ready to go,
We're going to have to grow a relationship with Jesus. This is not one and done. This is not come to the altar, believe on the name of Jesus, say that, repent of our sins, go out the back door, and live however we want. It's that we grow a relationship with Jesus, and that it is the most important thing in our lives, above all else. Is this the most important thing in your life? Do you give it time and space? Your relationship with Jesus? And lastly, one of the sisters here this morning in Sunday school said it. Nothing between. Nothing between your soul and the Savior. Nothing in your lives that you know, that you're holding on to, that the enemy can lay claim to. Say, that's mine. That's mine. That's me and you. Nothing between the soul and the Savior. You want to be ready to meet Jesus? I'd like to ask these now in the form of a question. Because it's personal. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Do you believe into His plan to the point that you've adopted it into your life? Have you repented and told the Lord that you're sorry for sins of your life and recognized in humility that you need help? Have you been growing your relationship? Have you been growing your relationship with Jesus? Is it the most important thing in your life? Are you allowing something in your life that you know stands between you and Jesus? Has the Lord put His finger on something in your life and you're not willing to let go? He's put His finger on something and you say, well, that's just going to have to be the way that it is. Not willing to let that go. Such that the enemy is able to claim that in your life. Or conversely, have you taken your weaknesses, your faults, the things in your life that maybe you know is not right, which, Lord, help me to be more righteous and for the unrighteousness in my personal life to be purged, because, Lord, I know there's places in my life that You want me to do differently and be better in, but as the Lord reveals those to me, have I taken those things to the altar and said, Lord God, help me with this. Lord, let's start rooting this thing out. Let's go to work on it. That's different than being in this place over here where we say, yeah, I'm not letting go of that. I know I'm not supposed to, but to hold on, but that's, nope, I'm holding on to that. Not giving it up. Jesus said, I want to help you with that. He's like, no, I'm not ready. See the difference? You want to be ready to meet Jesus? Believe in Him. Repent of your sins from your heart. Grow your relationship with Jesus Christ. Be diligent that you don't allow things to be in between your soul and the Savior. We've been given life to enjoy. And yay, temporal things to enjoy. And I don't read anywhere in the Scripture where the Lord says that He wants us to live our lives in the middle of four walls that says chapel out in front, and that this is where we spend our lives at an altar of prayer 24/7, and those are the people that will be ready. Does it have its place? Yes. Should we come? Yes. But I believe that the Lord finds joy seeing us exercise the talents that He's given us, living life, being good stewards of life and the place that He's put us, but that we take Him with us wherever we go. And that we go out into the world, and as we go to school, and as we do our jobs, and as we tend to the duties of life, things that will pass away, that all the while we do them with the understanding and the knowledge that I want to be ready to go. I want to make sure there's nothing in between. I want to grow the relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I live my life, as I enjoy life, as I go on hikes, as I go and enjoy the creation of God, as I go to work, as I mow my lawn, as I do these things, that my relationship increases, and that I can go into the world and preach the gospel by how I live my life, and that all the while I'm being careful that there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that when that time comes unannounced and unexpected, that I'll be ready to go. The Scripture says in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes in the 9th verse, it says to the young man that they can enjoy themselves and enjoy their youth and their strength, but then it says, but know that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And I don't feel like that Scripture is trying to say, well, it's fine to go live however you want in your youth and enjoy, but you just better know that there's going to be a judgment coming. If you're going to go use your strength and enjoy your strength as a young man, you better understand. I don't think it's a threat like that. I think it's God gave us strength. He gave us youth at a certain time of life. And I think He enjoys watching the young be able to jump and run and play. And then as we get older, I believe that verse could be written for every season of our life. Because there's certain benefits and joys that we can experience at different phases of our life. Grandparents, enjoy being a grandparent. Middle age, enjoy having a little experience, not having to worry about some of the things that you did before. And young people and children, enjoy your youth, enjoy your strength, but know thou that for all... I believe that He could write that for every season of life. It's just that He's saying, make what matters most matter. Whatever stage you're in, make what matters most matter. This. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. And if you sin since the last time that you've repented, repent again. Folks, if you know you've done wrong, repent. Grow your relationship. Keep nothing in between as you live life. That we can be ready to go when Jesus Christ comes back and He calls our name. The wise man summed it up at the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And at the end he said, well, let's hear the conclusion. What is the conclusion of the whole matter of life? It's fear God and keep His commandments, because it's the whole duty of man. Because He's going to bring everything into judgment. Every work, whether it's good, bad, whether it's a secret thing, it's going to be brought into judgment. Fear God and keep His commandments. What are His commandments? What were the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, strength. Love Him above everything else. It encapsulates this. If you do, you're going to do this. And love thy neighbor as thyself. And then He said all the other laws, they hang on those two things.
What do you love in your life as evidenced by your life? I want to get it right. Folks, I want to get it right. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? If you get everything you wanted to get in life, you name it. But what if you lose your soul? What if the Lord comes back and you're not ready? But you got all that. Scripture says, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What? Here's your soul. You can have whatever you want. Let's trade. What would you trade? Any good answers? Ask the five foolish virgins that were on the wrong side of the door. Ask the souls that have been eternally separated from the God if it was worth it. And I want to tell you something in the fear of God. There is not one single solitary soul that is eternally separated from God that is saying, yeah, but I got to do it my way. Oh, it was good. I got to live life. I was able to just give myself and enjoy whatever I wanted to give, and I know I'm eternally separated from God and I'm in hell for eternity, but wow, was it ever worth it? Not a soul, not a single person. And we won't be an exception if that's where we end up. God have mercy on us. God in His mercy has given us space and time. And if we don't give Him space and time back, if we don't give Him priority with our space and our time, or we give Him just the leftovers, we hinder Him, we preclude Him because He respects our choice. We preclude Him from being able to work for our good. We preclude Him from being able to work outside of the time and space realm, to work all things together for our good. Because we don't give Him time and space that He has given us. Why would any of us this morning want to miss being with Jesus? Why would any of us want to live life without life itself? We don't have to. It's the good news of the gospel. Good news of the gospel is that to be ready to meet God when He comes back and He says, come meet Him, and we can be ready to meet Him at an unexpected hour. The hope of the gospel is that every single person here this morning, there is not a thing up here on this board that any of us are not able to do. The Lord made it that way. He made it so that He did the heavy lifting. And then He says, your part is to come. Your part is to acknowledge your need. Your part is to make me the most important thing in life so that when I come back, you can receive the most important thing, which is eternal life itself. He made it available for all of us. Be ready this morning. Not I plan to get ready at a more convenient time. That time may never come. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Friends, loved ones, fellow sojourners, be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man